Tonight on SmackDown, we had the Kansas City Showdown between Sami Zayn and Jey Uso confronting each other in the ring to close out the show. But first, we had Cody Rhodes making a special appearance, venturing over to the Friday night show, trying to play peacemaker between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, to try to get the two of them back on the same page. Again, Kevin Owens not receptive, not wanting to have anything to do with Sami Zayn, but you had to think that later on in the show with Sami coming back out, there might be some kind of development. There might be some kind of angle that they were going to shoot at the very end of the show. And tonight was the night that we finally got that angle. Because Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, it took long enough. It took many, many weeks. But here tonight, we finally got the reunion between KO and Sami. And the tag team title match of WrestleMania Now is all but official. What a great moment it was, too, when the two of them hugged. When Kevin Owens came in for that big bear hug in the middle of the ring and the place exploded. This is a moment that has been built up now for many, many weeks. And really, you could say it's been built for many years, given the backstory and the history between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. So that place went nuts for that moment. And I got to tell you, you know, Cody Rhodes is the Miracle Man. I mean, what more can you say? First of all, not only did he solve racism, but he brought Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn back together. He did the impossible. Just give the man the title. I mean, if that doesn't earn him the Undisputed Championship, I don't know what does. We also got some clarity tonight, finally, on the Intercontinental Championship picture for WrestleMania. Exactly what we expected. And I was not a fan of how they went about doing it. I actually thought it was kind of goofy. But we did get a match tonight between Drew McIntyre and Sheamus going one-on-one to determine who would meet Gunther at WrestleMania for the IC title. We did not get a clean finish with a decisive winner, and so it was up to Adam Pearce to announce that it will be a triple threat match at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship, and I can't wait. I cannot wait for what should be certainly one of the, if not the best match of the entire weekend between Gunther, Drew McIntyre, and Sheamus for that Intercontinental title. So that is going to be fantastic. But we had Charlotte Flair in the ring talking about her WrestleMania opponent, Rhea Ripley, cutting a promo that if you close your eyes and you didn't know any better, you would think the heel champion was standing in the ring talking about how great she is and how she's been to 7 WrestleManias. She's about to head into her 7th WrestleMania. Every WrestleMania match that she's ever been a part of, she's been a champion or she's been a challenger, right? I'm better than everybody else. Like, oh, this is a great babyface promo here. Rhea Ripley came out to confront Charlotte, and I thought did a very good job, and then we had a huge pull-apart brawl to finally throw some gas on the fire in a feud that desperately needed it, especially if it's going to be headlining night one of WrestleMania, which looks to be the case. Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. The saga continues between father and son. Rey was back tonight to once again tell his son, no, I will not wrestle you at WrestleMania. This is a story I think worthy of Dr. Seuss. Rey Mysterio could just come out on television every week and talk about how I will not wrestle you in a boat. I will not wrestle you with a goat. I will not wrestle you in a coat. On and on and on. I don't know how many times he could say it every week, telling his son that I will not fight you at WrestleMania. Of course, even though you know he will, but they're still milking this thing for all it's worth. Notable is that it was also another week where Bray Wyatt was not mentioned by the commentators. There was no promo. There was no real acknowledgement of him. I did see a mention of there being a Bray Wyatt logo shown on screen at some point in the back. Who cares? There was no mention of Bray. There was no appearance by Bray. There was nothing with Mr. Howdy, Dr. Howdy, Uncle Howdy, whatever he is, Bobby Lashley. Not on the show tonight. It is as if this match has been wiped clean from the WrestleMania card. You would never know. If you watched the television shows over the past week, 2 weeks, you would never even know that this was a match even being teased for WrestleMania. And I talked about Bray Wyatt at the beginning of the Raw stream on Monday night because there were a lot of rumors about him. And frankly, also a lot of untrue, false rumors going around about creative and him walking out, which, from the looks of it, was all bullshit. And I will talk more about that again on the podcast on Sunday as far as where that came from. But it's not looking good. Whatever is going on with Bray, which is supposedly a physical issue, whatever it is, whatever is going on with Bray Wyatt, we are now about, what, 2 weeks away, 2.5 weeks away or so from WrestleMania. It's not looking good. But for Bobby Lashley, if this match does not happen, it could be a blessing in disguise. Only if he ends up with another opponent, because the only thing worse would be him not having any match at all, which would be ridiculous because he's been a featured performer on the show now for the past year. For him not to have a match on a two-night WrestleMania would be completely ridiculous. So for Lashley's sake, I hope they can find something else for him to do. But this is your SmackDown review here for Friday night. It is St. Patrick's Day, 2023. Happy St. Patty's Day. And now we get into this SmackDown show and we kick things off tonight with the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, Monday Night Raw's own. Cody Rhodes, who was back on SmackDown tonight, he was here to open the show and he was here to play Peacemaker. Not to be confused with John Cena's Peacemaker on HBO Max. He wanted to call somebody out to the ring, and that somebody happened to be Kevin Owens, also a Raw star. He had a lot of Raw representation on the show here tonight. Let me pause real quick here just to thank some people who have been registering new memberships, and also we just had, I believe, 5 new channel memberships, if I'm not mistaken here. Actually, Vanilla Gorilla is a new channel member as well. But Brian Anthony just gifted 5 channel memberships to 5 people in our live chat. So, Brian, thank you very much. I appreciate that. All of our new members, welcome to the family. Throw up those emojis so I can see you guys in the chat. You are one of us. That's right. Brock says, you are one of us. So he called KO to the ring. And Owens came out. He said, look, I think I know what this is about. I think I know why you called me out here. And Cody stopped him and said, listen, this is not a conversation between two people, those two people being you and I. That's not why I called you out here. There's another person who I think you need to be talking to. And he called Sami Zayn down to the ring. So we had Sami on one side of the ring, KO on the other, and Cody in the middle, in his suit, playing mediator. He said that he has a love and respect for Kevin Owens, because 7 years ago when he told WWE good luck in its future endeavors, he said it without any real confidence. He wasn't really sure what the future was going to be for Cody Rhodes outside of WWE. But Owens introduced him to some friends of his. Of course, he didn't say it, but he was referring to the Elite, because Kevin Owens and the Young Bucks have been friends for many, many years. In fact, when Owens' contract was coming due, it was about 2 years ago, there was a lot of chatter about whether or not he was going to stay or go, and whether or not the Young Bucks might lure him over to AEW. Cody said that you introduced me to some friends of yours and said it's a favor that I would like to repay. So Sammy said that he and Kevin have done some unspeakable things to each other over the years, but they have always found a way to get back on the same page. And he just cannot understand what makes this time so different. All the times that you and I have been friends and enemies back and forth, what is it about this time that makes you simply not even want to look at me, to speak to me, to even consider partnering up with me? What is it about this time that's so different? And he said that, look, if there's something you got to say, if there's something that you need to get off your chest, then go ahead and do it. He says, if you want to punch me in the face, if you think that might help, go ahead and do it, so we can get back to working together. And Owens just stared at him, and then he looked over at Cody, and he said, look, I came out of here like you asked. He goes, are we good? Did I give you what you want? Cody said, look, it's not about what I want. We're in the people-pleasing industry. Says it's about what the fans want, and they want to see the two of you guys back on the same page. And the fans chanted that they wanted these two men to hug it out. Actually, they chanted that twice during this segment. And they would get the hug at the end of the show, in fact. So this was a great example of the payoff. You just got to be patient, but eventually They got the payoff that they were looking for. Sammy told Owens, look, we can be the ones to take down the ones. We don't need to do it as friends. We just need to work together. We don't have to be friends. But we can together take down the bloodline. So Owens said, look, I hear you. I get it. But why would I fight for someone who doesn't even want to be my friend? And with that, he thanked Cody and he left the ring. After a commercial, they showed Owens outside the arena walking to his car when Sammy caught up with him. Sammy told him, you said out there in the ring, I just want you to know everything that you said out there, you're wrong. We will always be friends. We're brothers. Sammy told Kevin, look, if you never want to talk to me again, if you never want to speak with me again, that's fine. I just want to let you know that I love you. And Owens just looked at him like, he had this look on his face like, are you kidding me right now? He almost did like a double take. He was looking back and forth. And then he just got in his car. He got in his snazzy green car and he drove away. So we had Cody playing a couples counselor here to no avail, or at least it seemed like to no avail at the beginning of the show. And for Owens, you know, the story here with Kevin Owens is that he wanted to feel like Sami Zayn actually wants to be friends again. And instead, the way he reads all of these desperate attempts for the two of them to get back together, every time Sami comes to him and makes this plea, you know, the way that Owens reads it, you're just using me to get back at the bloodline for what they did to you. You know, basically, you need me. You want to use me as a tool. Not be my friend, but just use me to get back at them for what they did to you when they turned their back on you. Even though, if you think about it, Owens told Sammy months ago that this would happen, and he didn't believe him, and it happened anyway. It happened exactly the way that Owens said that it would. Sammy didn't listen to him. So Macho Man and Elizabeth, this was not. But this is the story I always expected them to tell. It took a lot longer than I thought it would. But as we would see later on in the show, it was so worth it in the end. You know, it was so worth it. Usually, you know, the GPS will recommend the fastest route to you. Although sometimes here in New York, that's not the case. There are many times here in New York that the GPS, if I go the way the GPS wants to take me, it will take me directly into the ocean or it will take me directly into a wall. But generally speaking, Waze is pretty good. And the GPS will take you in the fastest direction possible. But sometimes it's better to take the scenic route. Take your time. You're not in a rush. Enjoy the scenery along the way. And when you get to your destination, well, you're going to get to the same place anyway, so who cares, right? That's what they've done here with this story. And we got the payoff later on in the night. So we had Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio up next, taking on Santos Escobar and Zelina Vega. It was the Judgment Day against Legado del Fantasma. I thought Zelina looked great in this match. Her and Rhea both in the ring looked great, but this was the best that I have seen Zelina Vega in a very long time. Now, we don't see her wrestling very often these days, but I thought that this was her best match in, I don't know how long, frankly, a very long time. Zelina hit Rhea with a tornado DDT. Rhea, there was a moment where she hit a Tower of Doom spot on the two men who were up on the rope, so she just got underneath them and over they went. Zelina hit Dom with a Dragon Rana, and for the finish, Rhea caught Zelina from behind with the Riptide for the win. And then we heard, oh no, he has a microphone. And that was because Michael Cole pointed out that Dominic Mysterio took the microphone when this match was over. He was about to speak, called out his father. Up on the Titantron, they showed Rey Mysterio walking through the backstage area on his way to the ring as they cut to a commercial break. So after the break, Rey came down to the ring. And by the way, Rey looks to be the headline inductee in the Hall of Fame this year. There will be no Dave Bautista in the Hall of Fame. He is over in South Africa. He is filming a My Spy sequel. So he is not even around. So it looks like Rey is probably going to be the headline inductee this year. And Rey is a very deserving inductee. He's just not the one I expected to headline this year's class. So Rey asks Rhea if you could just back away and give me and my son the ring here. Dominic asks Rey, where were you when I needed you all those nights? And he called him a sad, pathetic excuse for a father. He was about to call him a piece of shit. Rey cut him off. At least he didn't call his father what Soraya called all the fans on Dynamite Wednesday night. They got her fined. I won't repeat what she said, but you know what she said. She knows what she said. She's a little light in the pocketbook now as a result of that. He said that he would give Dominic the truth. You want the truth? I'll give you the truth. He goes, you're right. I haven't been the best father in the world. I've missed birthdays. I've missed Christmases. I've missed football games. I've missed graduations. I wasn't always there. But I still love you. And whether you believe me or not, son, you are my world. But soon you'll find out that this business is selfish. And I made sacrifices so that you, your mother, and your sister can have a life that only I dreamed of. Or that I could only dream of. And every time Dominic would get into trouble, what would happen? He said every time Dominic would get into trouble, the Mysterio name would bail him out. He said, I'm being inducted this year into the Hall of Fame. And I would love nothing more than to have you on stage with me standing by my side. But maybe it's too late for that. His biggest regret is what his son has become. He says if someone like him, some ungrateful, disrespectful, pathetic punk-ass kid called him out. This is at WrestleMania. I would gladly whoop their ass. And all the fans of the building came unglued. They loved that line. Because they thought that he was, in effect, accepting or was about to accept Dominic's WrestleMania challenge. So they chanted, kick his ass. But Rey said, a little swerve here, Rey said, unfortunately, you are my son. And fighting you would be the biggest disgrace as a father. He goes, you're not worth it, son. I'm not going to fight you now. I'm not going to fight you never. And I'm not going to fight you at WrestleMania either. Well, I mean, he said, I'm not going to fight you never. I mean, that pretty much covers WrestleMania from here until the end of time. But he said, I'm not going to fight you at WrestleMania either. And Rey started to walk away. He left the ring. Dominic said, you're doing the only thing that you taught me not to do, which is to walk away like a scared little man. So it was more of the same from these two. You know, these segments are starting to kind of blend together and look the same. Although this time they did it a little bit differently in that they had Rey tease the fact that he was about to accept or that he might finally accept, you know, his son's WrestleMania challenge. Before finally he did what he always does, and he refused to accept the match. I thought Rey was good here. You know, Rey was good. I like the story. Like, I like what they've been doing. I like the story. But both of them are scheduled to be on both Raw and SmackDown every week from here until WrestleMania. That is the plan, that they're both going to be on both shows between now and Mania. And so that's four more shows. That's Raw and SmackDown next week, and that's Raw and SmackDown the following week. That's four more shows between now and WrestleMania. That's before we even get to the Hall of Fame, which it looks like that's probably going to be the place where they shoot the big angle. Possibly we'll have Rey during his speech, or at the end of his speech is when he's on stage in front of everybody and finally says, I will fight you at WrestleMania. That's kind of where it looks like this is going to be. And that'll be the big climactic moment. Maybe they put it on night two so they can promote it on night one. But that's kind of where this looks like it's going. All I hope is, if they're going to do this on the next four shows, you know, and give the fans blue balls until they finally announce this match, that they at least try to do something a little bit different instead of replaying the same basic segment over and over and over again. Because they've been doing this now for a while, to do the same exact thing for the next four shows is going to get pretty old. So I just hope they have something different planned, or maybe they'll just shoot some kind of angle on TV next week instead of waiting until the Hall of Fame. But I thought Rey was very good in this segment. Wade Barrett, after this, made an announcement. Wade Barrett, by the way, is now a permanent part of the SmackDown broadcast team. He was only supposed to be temporary until Pat McAfee fulfilled his ESPN college game day responsibilities. Pat's got a lot on his plate now. Even though game day is over, he's got a kid on the way. He's being sued by Brett Favre. He's got his his daily show. He had posted on social media last week, pondering his future, not knowing whether or not WWE is going to be sold, and if so, is he going to want to work for the new owners, whoever they may be? So there are a lot of questions about his future. Pat then came out and said that he intends to absolutely be back in WWE. He said he intends to be in the WWE Hall of Fame one day. So he'll be doing more with them, but Wade Barrett told the Daily Star that he is now as permanent can be in this company. He is now a permanent part of the SmackDown team with Michael Cole going forward, which I think is fine. I would expect McAfee at WrestleMania, just like he popped up at the Royal Rumble. But I think Wade has done a tremendous job, filling in and now taking the role of color commentator over. And I was a little worried about what might happen to him, frankly, when they brought Pat back, because Booker T is now permanent on NXT, so that doesn't really leave a spot for Wade Barrett. So Wade is going to be right where he is for the foreseeable future. But they cut to the announcers, and Wade announced that at WrestleMania this year, there are going to be two showcase Fatal 4-Way tag team matches, one for the men and one for the women. I would assume that we'll have one on one night and one on the other. And we had the first qualifier here for that women's match. It was Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan teaming up to take on Tegan Nox and Emma. And to give credit where credit is due, it was actually WrestleVotes on Twitter earlier today that broke the news on this and said that the men's match, this is from WrestleVotes. They didn't say anything about the men's match tonight, but WrestleVotes says the men's showcase Fatal 4-Way tag match at WrestleMania is going to be the Street Profits, Alpha Academy, the Viking Raiders, and Braun Strowman and Ricochet. And they had a qualifying match here for the women. Obviously, we're going to get qualifying matches for both. It's a way for them to kill television time between now and WrestleMania and to give these people something to do on the card. They have two nights of WrestleMania. I don't see anything wrong with having that as an undercard match. I think that's fine. But the crowd did not care about this at all. They did not care about this one iota. And really, why should they? Why should they? What reason have they been given based on the way they have been used on television in recent months to care about Tegan Nox or Emma? Neither one of them have really been featured in any meaningful way. Liv Morgan has been featured. Liv Morgan has her fans, and Raquel, They could have absolutely done more to build her up for a bigger match at WrestleMania. They chose not to do that. But Tegan and Emma, I mean, what the hell have they done? They've done nothing. So, of course, people didn't care. You can't blame the fans. Raquel smashed Emma with the Tejana Bomb. Liv then tagged in, hit her with Oblivion to win the match and to advance to the showcase match at WrestleMania. I will say, the women's undercard on this show right now is in shambles. The undercard for the women on SmackDown is in shambles right now. Hopefully it is just a WrestleMania thing. I don't want to sit here and say, well, it's just WrestleMania, because this has been going on for a while. But they have their focus. Right now they're laser focused on the key matches for WrestleMania. And if you do not have a key match at WrestleMania, you will not be focused on. So I'm hoping it's only really happening because we're heading into Mania. Coming out of Mania, Triple H is going to have to do something to remedy this situation, because he's got to do a better job with this, women's division and women's undercard here on the show. It's just, it feels like it's in tatters right now. And we did not see Ronda Rousey or Shayna Baszler. I should mention this. Neither one of them were on the show tonight. The belief, per Meltzer, is that Ronda and Shayna are going to be at WrestleMania. Now, Ronda has a hairline fracture in her hand, which is why she was sporting the a cast or a sling that she had on her arm a couple weeks ago. It is a legitimate injury. It is believed that it will not affect her having a match of Mania, but there's always the chance that it could. So my guess is they're kind of holding off on announcing anything official, maybe for another week or so, until they know what Ronda's status is going to be. But the belief is that they're going to challenge for the women's tag team titles at WrestleMania. So as of right now, the plan is to do Becky and Trish and Lita, probably on night one, against Damage Control. And then the other night, or whatever night, you know, whatever the other night is, it would be Becky and Lita defending the tag team titles, assuming they're still the champions, against Ronda and Shayna. So there you go. If that happens, that's, as I said a few weeks ago, it looked like they might be looking for a way to backdoor into some form of a Becky and Ronda match at WrestleMania without doing a straight singles match. That could be their way of doing that. So even though we did not see them on the show tonight, don't take that as meaning that they're not going to have a match at WrestleMania. As of right now, it looks like they are going to have one, but it will depend on whether or not Ronda is going to be cleared for the match. Now, I talked about the women's undercard in the show feeling like it's just in total shambles right now. Nobody cares. Nobody's really involved in anything meaningful. From that, we go to Charlotte Flair, who is the queen bee of the women's division here on this show. As her theme music says, as Neil, the voice of Neil Kaplan, Madara Uchiha, when Charlotte comes out, you hear him go, "All hail." First of all, there's only one person that we go all hail for, and his name is Gunther. But on this show, it's all hail, and out comes Charlotte Flair, the SmackDown Women's Champion, down to the ring to talk about her main event match at WrestleMania with Rhea Ripley. This promo. This promo was something else. She said, "The more things change, the more they stay the same. When she was a baby in her mother's arms, the business was built on Rhodes as a challenger and Flair as a champion. And here we are this year with WrestleMania built on Rhodes as a challenger and Flair as a champion." She is walking into, so that was the whole point, was to come back to the idea of the more things change, the more they stay the same. She is walking into her seventh WrestleMania. And at every single one of those WrestleManias that she has been a part of, she has either walked in as a champion or she has walked in as a challenger. But in every single one of those situations, there was gold on the line in those matches. She said, "But the one thing is, I've always been a star." And I'm listening to her talk here, and I said it in the live chat for the people who are in there. I said, "This woman is a babyface? Does this sound like a babyface promo to you?" This woman is in the ring listing her accomplishments and saying, "I'm always in the championship picture at WrestleMania. I'm a star." Nothing screams babyface like going out there and saying, "I'm a star and I'm better than everybody else." So I just thought to myself, wow, you know, for a woman who's supposed to be one of the top babyfaces, positioned as the top babyface here, at least with the women on this show, this certainly did not come off like a babyface promo to me. She said Rhea wants to be the champion. She wants to be the star. And to do that, she has to go through her. 3 years ago, she couldn't go through her. And today, she can't go through her either. Because the more things change, the more they stay the same. So Rhea's music interrupted, and she came to the ring with her boy toy. Dominic came down to the ring with her. She said that, "I chose you for WrestleMania. I chose you, Pikachu." I think Charlotte, she was kind of dressed in yellow tonight, right? "I choose you, Pikachu. I chose you for WrestleMania." She said that, "I could have chose Bianca Belair, but had my reasons for not doing so. When I walk around the locker room," Rhea said, "men and women, all of them, regardless of who they are, they all turn their back and they walk away because of fear. And because she is dangerous and everybody fears her. Except for one person, except for Charlotte." She said, "And that pisses me off." She said, "I need that SmackDown Women's title because I don't just want to be a star, I need to be a star." Well, they have plenty of Be a Star rallies. Perhaps Ronda, or Rhea in this case, should be doing more community outreach work. I think she should probably talk to somebody in the back. I'm sure they would love to send her around to various schools and she can talk about whatever, you know, bullying and all that kind of crap. So at WrestleMania, she says, Charlotte is going to learn to call her champion. And she's going to learn to fear her. And Dominic, with this big shit-eating grin on his face, just sauntered on over to Charlotte, got up in her face and started to mouth off to her. Charlotte put her hand up, and as she put her hand up, Rhea took a cheap shot at her and knocked her down. So at that point, Rhea and Dominic left the ring. And instead of leaving the ring and going to the back, they left the ring and they were kind of standing around laughing and smiling and looking at the crowd. And you knew it wasn't over yet. You knew the segment wasn't over yet. You know, it looked like they were clearly waiting for something. And you could see Charlotte in the background. And she rolled out of the ring. And look, we did not get a Braun Strowman appearance on the show tonight. But just because we did not have Braun Strowman on the show does not mean that we did not get the Strowman Express. We got the Strowman Express tonight, though. It was the Charlotte Express. And she came rounding the bend, around the ring post, snuck up here on old Rhea, took her down to the ground. And what followed here was a long, extended pull-apart brawl between these two women. We had referees and agents trying unsuccessfully to separate the two of them. Charlotte booted one of the security guards in the face. Rhea threw her over the announce desk. Charlotte came right back, climbed up on the announce desk, dove off, took out Rhea and a couple of other people. They brawled over the barricade into the crowd. Finally, Charlotte got back into the ring. She picked up her SmackDown Women's Championship, and she posed in the ring to finally end the segment. This is what they needed to inject some life into what has so far been a very lifeless program. This is the sort of thing that I have been waiting for from these two. I thought Rhea's promo was very good. And her delivery was very good. So I thought she did a very good job. Charlotte, it was the same promo that you always hear from Charlotte. Her promos are rarely different. They're all the same. And it's all about talking about, you know, boasting about her accomplishments. And I'm the star and I'm the queen and I'm the best and I'm this and I'm that. So it was, you know, paint by number stuff for Charlotte. But for Rhea, I thought she had a very good promo here. Charlotte, again, what is there to say? She has constantly talked about the fact that, you know, she is the queen of the division and I beat Rhea 3 years ago. I'm going to beat her again. Nobody can beat me. Charlotte herself has acknowledged, and I even talked about this on the podcast. She did an interview a number of weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, and talked openly about how difficult it is to go out there and be a babyface. So Charlotte knows that she is miscast in this role. She's not stupid. And she actually had a great explanation for it when she talked to this, you know, again, website, newspaper, whatever it was. And she said, you know, a good babyface, you know, you should want to have a character on TV that the people can relate to or that the people can get behind. There's some sort of goal. There's some sort of struggle there. And the fans should want to get behind that person. Right, Daniel Bryan and the whole Yes movement all those many years ago, or Kofi Mania, or any number of examples, or Sami Zayn, you know, before he went to Montreal to wrestle Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber. Some sort of person that the fans can rally behind to want to see them achieve some goal, win a championship, whatever it is. How do you do that with Charlotte, who has everything? She's always been in the championship picture. As she said here, every WrestleMania she's involved in the title match. She came back after missing most of 2022. And on her first night back, they basically handed the championship to her on a silver platter. I said she cashed in her Charlotte in the Bank. And once again, she was the SmackDown Women's Champion. So how are the fans, and she has her fans, but how are the fans at large, you know, in mass, supposed to get behind this woman when there's no real objective for her? There's no real struggle. When has she struggled? Never. Not on the main roster. She's always up here. That's why she's miscast in this role. I listen to these promos and the way she carries herself. Yeah, she carries herself like a star. She is a star. But the real story here is the fact that Rhea Ripley went into WrestleMania 3 years ago and she got beat. And now Rhea Ripley is a different Rhea Ripley. She's a different person than she was 3 years ago. And now the challenge for her is to go in there and prove that I can beat you. I'm going to get my revenge and I'm going to do what I couldn't do 3 years ago. That to me sounds like a fucking babyface. I know who I'm rooting for at WrestleMania. So it's just a weird dynamic here. And it doesn't take away from the fact that I still think these two are going to go out there and I think they're going to have an excellent match. I think they will. But boy, you talk about miscast roles. When it comes to Charlotte Flair, that was on display big time in this promo here on this show. The fans enjoyed the pull apart, though. They were cheering for both these women as they were brawling all over ringside and everything. So again, they needed something to throw some gas on the fire. I felt like they did a good job with that in this segment. Again, they have four more shows left to go until WrestleMania. We'll see what they do. But for tonight, I thought this was good. Everybody wave goodbye to Strowman the Clown. There he goes. It was good to see Strowman the Clown. We don't see him on SmackDown too much anymore. So I felt like when I saw Charlotte rounding the bend outside the ring, I said, my God, you know, we have to roll out the Charlotte Express. We had Xavier Woods one-on-one with LA Knight, who, if you will notice, got a noticeable pop for his entrance. So I hope the right people are listening. Supposedly he's getting good reactions on all the live events as well. So I certainly hope that Triple H is listening and the people who report to Triple H, right? Road Doggy Dog or whoever the hell is in charge of all that, you know, the live events now, they're taking their notes. They're putting down their live event reports and they're letting Triple H know he's getting over. His music hits, he gets a pop. He goes out there, he does his shtick. Yeah, let me talk to you. It's getting over. Getting reactions from the crowd. You would never know it based on the way he's booked on this show, but he is getting at least consistent television time every week, which is more than I can say for any other point in his career on the main roster. He is on television now more than he ever was before, so that's a good thing. What was not good, though, is what happened in this match. Before I get to what happened in this match, though, I do have to point out that Xavier came out by himself, and the reason he came out by himself is because Kofi Kingston just today underwent foot and ankle surgery in Birmingham. Now, there was a belief that he was not going to need surgery. He could just rehab the injury. It was a total fluke thing a few weeks ago when Drew McIntyre did a dive out over the top rope, landed on a pile outside. If you go back and watch it, you would never even know anything happened, you know, in the spot. But obviously, Kofi planted his foot wrong, landed wrong. Somebody landed on his leg, whatever happened. He suffered a pretty bad injury. So he had surgery. I don't know how long he'll be out for, but I'm sure it'll be a little. If he had surgery, it'll be a little while. So Woods is all alone, right? Because Big E is not back. And Kofi now is gone for a while. So Xavier is all by himself. They went 2 minutes. And Woods won with the backwoods. Rolled him up and pinned him, just like that. 1, 2, 3. Yet another loss for LA Knight. In the back, after this match was over, they showed LA Knight walking in the back, and he found Rey Mysterio. He was signing autographs at a table. And he told Rey that he would fight Dom for him at WrestleMania. He says, matter of fact, he started making fun of Rey. He says, matter of fact, he would change his name to LA Mysterio, and he would become a deadbeat dad. And Rey didn't like that. He didn't appreciate that very much. So he said something in Spanish, and he popped Knight in the face. And L.A. Knight asked, what the hell did he just say? I don't know. Perhaps somebody can translate it. I don't know what he said either. But he popped him in the face, and that was it. And these two now are, they announced later in the show, Rey and L.A. Knight are going to have a match next Friday that I am sure he will lose that match as well. Although there's always the possibility, I guess, that Dominic could cost Rey the match, but I'm expecting yet another loss for LA Knight. I'm hopeful that they're doing this on purpose, though, because it is leading to something for him to do at WrestleMania. He has to have something at WrestleMania. The announcers are making it a point every week to say that LA Knight keeps saying you can't have an LA WrestleMania without LA Knight. They're not doing that by accident. There has to be a reason why they're specifically pointing that out and pushing that point every single week. So I expect him to be doing something at WrestleMania. Now, what is that going to be? Let me mention this. WWE 2K23 just dropped today. And I plan on, I'm going to be buying that. We'll do more Sound Off Gamers here on the channel. I'm just so busy getting ready for stuff this weekend of the podcast. I'll buy the game next week. But 2K23 officially launched today. Well, there was a 2K23 launch party. And on the Up Up Down Down YouTube channel, which WWE owns and Xavier Woods runs, he did a live stream. They were live streaming him and Tyler Breeze, and Shelton Benjamin was hanging out with them, and Big E was there. But at some point during the live stream, they got Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was there, to come on over and sit and just shoot the breeze, no pun intended, shoot the breeze with all of them. And it was fun. And Austin hung out with them for a long time, and they were asking him questions, and he was telling stories. And one of the things, interestingly, that Austin talked about was, I think it was Tyler, who runs a wrestling school. And he said one of the matches that he uses to teach his students is the WrestleMania match between Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 14. Because Shawn, who unfortunately was really hurt, so him selling was probably less selling and more just him being in a lot of fucking pain. But he actually uses that match as an example to show his students how to sell, right? Even though Shawn was legitimately injured. And they asked Austin what he thought about the match. And it was interesting because Austin said on a scale of 1 to 5, he would rate that match as a 2. He didn't think the match was good at all. He flat out said, I hate that match. You would think that, you know, me and Shawn Michaels, bell to bell, you know, nobody better in the ring than Shawn Michaels. We would go out there and have a great match. But, you know, he said Shawn wasn't in a good place, physically or otherwise. And, you know, he even alluded to the story. I don't know if it's true or not, but you know, the story about Undertaker being in the back taping up his fists if Shawn didn't want to do business that night, because he said it wasn't just his health. He wasn't sure that Shawn was going to do the JOB for him. But it was interesting how he said, man, you know, I just thought that match was the drizzling shits. He went to the back when the match was over, and he was talking to Vince, and he said, man, that match was the shits. So you could tell how much it bothered him to go out there with Shawn Michaels, you know, at a WrestleMania, and to have a terrible match. I think he's being a little harsh on the match. I don't really like the match either. The two of them actually had a much better match at the King of the Ring the year before when they were tag team champions. So yeah, I don't like that WrestleMania 14 match either. It also annoyed Austin that Mike Tyson, when he came in for the finish, did the fast count. He was like, man, you know, you got to do the champion, the slow championship count. He goes, Mike just came in, man, and he didn't give me any time. He just counted in. He goes, I hate this match. Well, why do I bring up Stone Cold Steve Austin? I bring up Stone Cold Steve Austin because there has been a lot of chatter lately that there may be a match or a segment of some kind of WrestleMania this year between Stone Cold Steve Austin and LA Knight, which is I pitched the idea for when I thought Austin was actually going to wrestle a match. This was months ago. The person who I thought would be a great fit for a match with Stone Cold was LA Knight. And there were people who said, thought I was crazy. What do you mean, LA Knight? He hasn't even been featured on TV. You're going to put him in the ring with Stone Cold at WrestleMania? Yeah. I actually think that that would be a good matchup, just stylistically, as far as their characters. But you would have to build it up with promos on TV and all that. They don't have time for that now. That doesn't mean that they still can't do a segment with them. And there's been more chatter online about that was pitched as one of the ideas. They're still trying to get Austin to commit to do something at WrestleMania this year. And I think he will. Is it going to be with LA Knight? There's a distinct possibility that this losing streak that he's been on is building to something. And what it's building to is him coming out at WrestleMania and saying, look, told you, you can't have an LA WrestleMania without LA Knight. Maybe he even calls out anybody in the back who wants to come out and let him make them famous or something. And then the glass shatters and here comes Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, whether they ring the bell and make it an official match or it's just a segment, little brawl, kick, wham, stunner, it's not going to end well for LA Knight. He's gonna do the JOB at WrestleMania just like he's been doing it on TV every week. But it looks like there's a distinct possibility there could be something at Mania between LA Knight and Stone Cold Steve Austin. So this could be leading to that. It's leading to something. If it's not Austin, I have no idea what it could be. We had Drew McIntyre one-on-one with Sheamus. This was a number one contenders match to see who would go on to WrestleMania to challenge Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. Imperium came to the ring before the beginning of the match to observe the proceedings. And Bobby's World just dropped 5 channel memberships on 5 very lucky recipients in the live chat. How many new members of our family have we acquired tonight? It has to be at least 15. We had at least 10 the other night. I believe we've got about 15. Maybe we'll hit 20 tonight. I don't know. But hey, Bobby's World, thank you for that very much. I appreciate that. Our family, let me tell you something, man. These last two and a half weeks, our family has expanded, man. Remember years ago, they had a reality show? Was it the Duggars? There was a family called the D-U-G-G-A-R-S, I think was the name of the family. They had like 20 kids or something like that. Am I thinking of the right family? They gave them a reality show because their family was so fucking big. That's going to be us. They're going to give us a reality show soon. Maybe I could talk to Warner Brothers Discovery since they're giving out a lot of television time here. Maybe I can convince them to give us a reality show. What do you think? So Imperium was out there to watch the battle here between Drew and Sheamus. And Gunther at one point did put a headset on for about a minute to answer a couple of questions from Wade Barrett, but he really wasn't out there to do commentary. Now, they didn't give too much away here in this match. Only went about 10, maybe 10 or 11 minutes, but what they gave us was very good, as you knew it would be, but there was no need to give more than that because you knew these two were going to WrestleMania. You knew where this was going. Don't give too much away on live television. But what they gave us here, they gave us just enough. It was very good stuff. Drew hit Sheamus with a superplex heading into the commercial break. Sheamus tuned up for the brogue kick. McIntyre ducked it, hit a neck breaker into a kip up. Drew was counting down for the Claymore kick. As he came in for the Claymore, Sheamus blocked it with a running knee strike. Got a great near fall out of it. Both men then were setting up for their respective finishes, and they hit the finish at the exact same time. McIntyre connected with the Claymore kick. Sheamus connected with the brogue kick. Both men went down. We had a double down here. So the referee begins to count, and he counts all the way up to 8. That's when Gunther climbs into the ring, and he stops the count, and he starts yelling at both men on the mat. Now, Drew and Sheamus are slow to get up. They're up on their knees. They're looking up at Gunther. Gunther is looking at them and yelling at them and going, you know, basically, who's it going to be? Which one of you is it going to be? As he was pointing, there it is, to the WrestleMania sign. He's pointing up at the Mania sign. He wants to know which one of them is going to challenge him for the championship. All of a sudden, Vinci and Kaiser attack Drew and Sheamus from behind for the double disqualification. Gunther hit McIntyre with a shotgun dropkick, hit Sheamus with a lariat. Gunther put McIntyre on all fours. He powerbombed Sheamus onto him. As Imperium was headed to the back, Adam Pearce appeared on the Tron, and he said that Gunther left him with no choice but to make a triple threat match for WrestleMania. It will be Gunther defending the title against both Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, which I believe is deserving of a yes chant. This is the match I have been waiting to be made official. And indeed, it now is official for WrestleMania. Now, I did not like the way that they did that finish because I thought it was totally unnecessary. I think you let the referee count both guys out. You do a draw. He counts to 10. Neither man can beat the 10 count to their feet. And you go and do exactly what they did at the end here. You have Gunther get in the ring with Vinci and Kaiser and beat the crap out of both of them. And he's beside himself because he wanted to know who was challenging him at WrestleMania. He waited all week. Now these two go to a no decision. He loses his mind and they put a beat down on both men. And you get to the exact same place where Adam Pearce pops up on the Tron and says, hey, now you're going to get them both at WrestleMania. Instead, they had Gunther get into the ring to interrupt the count before the referee was done. Why? It just looked silly. It was completely unnecessary. So I was not a fan of how they did it, but it got us to the same place all the same. In the end, it doesn't matter because we still end up with a triple threat match for WrestleMania that could very well be the best match of WrestleMania weekend. And it is guaranteed to be the best intercontinental title match at WrestleMania in at least 8 years. Since the seven-way ladder match that Daniel Bryan won for the IC title at WrestleMania 31. This will easily be the best IC title match in Mania since then, and it might even be better than that. And if it's better than that, you could take it all the way back to the ladder match in Madison Square Garden in 1994. That's how fucking great I expect this match to be at WrestleMania. And with any luck, we will get the correct finish, which is Sheamus going over and finally getting his WrestleMania moment for the Intercontinental Championship, the title he has talked about for so many years in interviews as wanting. It's the one title that has eluded him his entire career. He doesn't even bother talking about the Universal title. Universal title's only been around for, what, 6 years, 7 years now? He wants the IC title. They've made it his story. And he didn't get the job done at Clash at the Castle. I had that as one of my top, I think it was my second best match of the year in 2022. They had a rematch on television, if you remember, that had a little bit of controversy. And I said at the time, there it is. There's the opening for them to come back and revisit this down the road. Well, here we are. And now we're going to get them back in the ring. And look, Drew is great. And Drew would be a fine choice also as the Intercontinental Champion. Or they could very well keep the title on Gunther and have him go and break Honky Tonk Man's record. There's no need for it. It almost seems to me like they've given away the finish that there will be a title change here, because they are acknowledging Gunther as the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of this century. I think that's their way of kind of giving him credit for being the longest reigning champion. He's not the longest reigning champion of all time, but he can say the longest reigning champion of this entire century, which is true. He is. So he doesn't have to go break the Honky Tonk Man's record. I've said before, it's all the Honky Tonk Man has. That's how he sells his 8x10s. And when he's on the convention circuit, I'm the greatest. I'm the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion, you know, of all time. There's the Honky Tonk Man pose. Like, let the man have it. That's all he has. Sheamus should win the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. The stage is set for what should be a very special moment. They play their cards right, this could be the best thing on the entire show. Either night. And we closed this episode of SmackDown with what they called the Kansas City Showdown. Jey Uso in the ring face-to-face with Sami Zayn. Jey was in the ring already after they came back from the break. And Sami power walked with a mic in his hand down to the ring and said, "You wanted me to pull up, right?" Jey Uso wanted him to pull up to SmackDown on Friday night. So he goes, "Here I am. How do you want to do this?" Jey told him from day one, "I didn't like you. I didn't like you. I didn't trust you. I didn't want you around my family at all. But then week after week, they all started taking a liking to you." He said, "Jimmy liked you. Solo liked you. The wise man liked you. Even the tribal chief started to like you. But not me. As a boy, I always thought it was my job to protect my family. Do whatever it takes to protect my family. Same as today. So the one time I let my guard down for someone who I thought loved me, what did you do? You betrayed me. You embarrassed me. You made me look stupid in front of the whole damn world." Let me say that Jey is so good. When he gets fired up in these situations on these promos, he's so good. You know, years ago is when the whole main event Jey Uso moniker came to be at the beginning of this whole Bloodline thing, when Roman first enlisted him in the family, in the faction. Called him main event Jey Uso. Well, let me tell you something. One thing that has not changed, and actually it wasn't even the case back then, but it is now. On promos, he is main event Jey Uso. He's got main event promo ability. When he gets going, he gets all fired up like this. He really is a main event player. So he said from day one, Sammy has always been a fake-ass Oos. He said, "So now I have no choice." And before he could finish his thought, Sammy cut him off. Sammy said, you know, actually, you've had a choice. You've had a choice since day one not to take the abuse that you took from Roman Reigns. He said, I don't think you're mad at me. I think you're mad at yourself. He said, you're not mad that I hit Roman Reigns with that steel chair at the Royal Rumble. You're just mad that you didn't get the chance to do it first. Jay didn't like hearing that. He hit Sammy. Zayn fought back. He got the mount. He was raining blows down upon him. Jimmy, though, attacked from behind. They caught Sammy with a super kick. They picked up the ring steps and they hit Sammy with them. Then they put him back in the ring. When all of a sudden, finally, at long last, we heard Kevin Owens' theme music. And both Usos were looking at the stage. They're waiting for him to emerge. But then we see behind them, obviously out of the crowd, Kevin Owens is standing right behind them. And they turn around, and he's stomping the hell out of both of them. He dropped Jimmy with a stunner. He did a pop-up powerbomb to Jay that took him down. Then, the moment that we have been waiting for. Since Elimination Chamber, and realistically, even before Elimination Chamber, but at least since Elimination Chamber, Owens stares at Sami Zayn, who now is back up to his feet, and Owens walks across the ring. He puts his arms around Sammy and gives him a big ol' hug. And the entire building just explodes. Big pop for the big hug. They wanted them to hug it out. They got the big hug here at the end of the show. That right there was the payoff for the long wait. That's what that was. They could have done it in Montreal. That would have been the easy way to go. But they knew they had another 6 weeks of television. What can we do over these next 6 weeks of television to really build to this match at WrestleMania? Do we give it all away at Elimination Chamber and then scramble to figure out how to keep things interesting over these next 6 weeks? Or do we wait and we take our time and we don't rush it and we milk it? I thought they should do it at Elimination Chamber. I thought that's when it was going to happen. I was wrong. It was better that they did it this way. And I know some people are just very impatient and they've been waiting and they said, oh, it took long enough, you know, 2 weeks before WrestleMania. You could say a similar thing about the Rey Mysterio and the Dominik stuff, but in this case, it works so well. They took their time. They got the payoff, I think, that they were looking for based on that reaction. And now the stage is set. It hasn't officially been announced yet. I would imagine on Monday it will be, that we will have a tag team championship match involving these two teams at WrestleMania. I will say, for a second there, I did have a flashback to NXT. Was it Our Evolution? I think it was the Our Evolution show many years ago. I thought Owens, for a second there, was going to drop Sammy. I thought he might drop Sammy like he did at the end of that show after Sammy won the NXT title, but he didn't. And so now the stage is set. It will be Kevin Owens against... teaming with Sami Zayn against the Usos for the Undisputed Tag Team titles at WrestleMania. One thing that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have never done, ever, and have said in interviews before that they want to do, is be tag team champions in WWE. They did it in Ring of Honor, but they have never done it in WWE. And that will change at WrestleMania this year. So whether it headlines night one or they open the show with it, which they could always do, whatever spot they give these four, to me, this is the real main event of night one of WrestleMania, is this match right here, because this story is a story that has been building for months, and with Owens and Zayn, really, it's been building for years. This is now another chapter in a very long book of stories that have been created, even predating WWE, between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. This is just another chapter in that book. In what has been a very, very long story. And to me, that would make it worthy of the main event spot on that first night of WrestleMania. We've never had a tag team championship match headline WrestleMania before. We've had a tag team match. The very first WrestleMania was a tag team match, but it was not a tag team title match. It's not going to happen. It's going to be Charlotte and Rhea, who had a good segment tonight. But to me, this is the real main event of night one. I thought this was an excellent finish to a very good episode of SmackDown that I thought built the key stories for WrestleMania very nicely. So, better effort than some of the recent SmackDowns that we have had. This was one of the better ones. And you guys seem to agree to the tune of 81% thumbs up here for the St. Patrick's Day edition of SmackDown. 11.6% thumbs in the middle and just 7% thumbs down. So you guys, big fan. Big fan of the show tonight. I agree. Think it was great.
Now, if you're like me, you probably have routines in your life that you stick to, whatever they may be. Maybe it's hitting the gym at the same time every day or eating the same things every week, whatever they are. It can get boring after a while. What I have found is that the smallest changes to those routines can make the biggest impact. In that same way, you don't need to break the bank to make a purchase that ends up being a big deal. Even the smallest things can make for a big change if it's something you use every day. Like my Raycons. Raycon is premium audio at the perfect price point. I listen to music when I do cardio and the occasional podcast. This Solomonster guy I sometimes listen to is pretty good. But whether I'm on the elliptical at the gym or I'm taking a walk around the neighborhood, I need to have my Raycons in my ears if I want to get a good calorie burn going. My Raycon everyday earbuds have become an important part of my routine. And Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycon also makes you feel good about what you're spending your money on. They offer buy now, pay later options, and every purchase has an easy and free return guarantee, so you've got nothing to lose. With my Raycons, I love their custom gel tips, which give me a comfortable in-ear fit, their noise isolation, which lets me block out outside noise. They're also water and sweat resistant, and I love that I can get 8 hours of playtime out of them on a single charge. There's a reason why they have over 50,000 five-star reviews. So ready to buy something small with a big impact? Go to buyraycon.com/solomonster today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/solomonster to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com/solomonster and use the code SOLOMONSTER at checkout to get yourself 15% off.
Take a look at your super chats here. We got a bunch of them to go through, and I thank you. Jackie Fowler, we kick things off with the $12 super chat. Ray against Dominic in a jailhouse match as the opener on night one of WrestleMania, and throughout the weekend, Dom really does hard time. Also, Dom's theme should be X Gon' Give It To You by DMX, but switch out Gone to Con. I like the idea of the jailhouse, man. We had our first ever jailhouse match on NXT a couple weeks ago with Tony D and Dijak, and I actually thought it was a pretty stupid stipulation. But I guess in this case, it might work. Problem is, it might give Dom flashbacks. He might be scarred after his experience behind bars. Winter's Paw says Flair has her spot only because of her last name. And he says, might just skip night one, honestly. No Bray anyway. Hey, BlissFan, I think I found your best friend here. You and Winter's Paw should get together and you can commiserate about what is going on with Bray Wyatt. I think you two would get along very nicely. Crypto and Poker, it might just be me, but Cody has gotten so annoying. I think it might just be. Thomas Colella with the $5 super chat. Oh, by the way, you know, I forgot to mention at the end, the final segment of the show when they showed Owens and Zayn finally reunite, they had the big hug. They did briefly cut to the back, and they showed Cody, he was standing there watching on a screen, smiling like a proud papa. He was so happy with himself. Had his chest out, his chin up high. He was so happy to see these two reunited. Thomas says, I was thinking about all the other greatest managers of all time. How come nobody ever talks about Gary Hart? He was such an underrated manager. I don't think Gary Hart is underrated at all. There's actually quite a few people who talk about Gary Hart. The reason he doesn't get talked about more is because he was never in WWE. And that's just a fact. If he was in WWE and he had that level of visibility, he would be on more people's lists of all-time great managers, but he never had the visibility that a Bobby Heenan had. He never had the visibility that, you know, other people like Jimmy Hart had in the company. And you can go up and down the whole list of managers, especially from that golden era, whether it was Heenan or Fred Blassie, Lou Albano, Elizabeth, Paul Bear, Mr. Fuji. So that is why you don't hear as many people talking about him, but there's plenty of people who I hear when they talk about managers mention Gary Hart. Ed Swoggle with the $5 super chat. Got a crash before SmackDown ends. When I hear this, I'll be in the middle of my bake shift that I wake up at 2 a.m. for. Thanks for getting me through my shift. Well, Ed, I hope you have a very good shift. Hopefully you will pass the time quickly here. Hopefully we are helping you do so. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. The Real CS02. Hey, Solo Monster, I've been watching you for a few months, and boy, has it been a fun ride. I try to catch your streams and the podcast whenever I can. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much. The Real CS02. Showing some love here on the channel. I'm happy to have you. Enjoy your stay. As I told somebody the other day who is new to the channel, enjoy your stay. Dylan W. 216, thoughts on The Last of Us show and finale. I did finish The Last of Us. No spoilers, but I'm sad it's over. It was only 9 episodes, and that last episode felt like it just, I think it flew by in like 42 minutes or something. I thought it was fantastic. I thought the entire season was fantastic. I thought the finale was excellent. The acting on that show, Bella Ramsey, and Pedro Pascal are just fucking unbelievable. I've liked Pedro Pascal as an actor for a while. I watched all of the seasons of Narcos, and he was on that show. So I'm a fan of his work, but he and Bella Ramsey on this show are just tremendous. And whatever award shows are coming up next, you know, that they might be nominated for, if they don't sweep it, I'll be surprised. But I'm looking forward to the second season. It's probably going to be a while. Probably be at least a couple of years before we see it back. But what a great fucking show. So Dylan, thank you for that. Vanilla Gorilla with the $20 super chat. One of our new channel members as well. I think the only person who should finally take Roman down and take the title is Jey Uso. It is the story that started it all, and I like the idea of Jay staying main event level like Jay Briscoe did. What do you think? You know, I wouldn't be against it. I don't see it. I don't think they see him in that spot, same as Sami Zayn. I don't think that beyond the win, which would be very satisfying, you have to look beyond the win, right? The person who beats Roman can't just beat Roman and drop the belts a few weeks later or a month later. That would be stupid. You know, they don't have to have a long run like Roman did. But whoever is going to be the person to beat Roman has to be the guy. The guy that they're going to go with, the guy who's going to be the most prominently featured for the rest of this year. I don't see that being Jey Uso, just like I didn't see them getting behind Sami Zayn in that way. People would get mad when I said that about Sami, but that's just the fact. Sami himself said that when Ariel Helwani interviewed him. Even Sami realizes, I don't know if the company really sees me in that way. They don't. But he's still in a great spot, right? They finally see him, I think, for what he brings to the table. And it's been great seeing him in all these main event segments every single week on TV. He's going to be in a big match at WrestleMania, the biggest match that he's ever had at WrestleMania. So I just don't see, if Jay gets that big satisfying win over Roman and wins the championship, it's like, then what? Do you really expect Jey Uso is going to be the one who, you know, is going to be pushed as the top guy in the company for the next year? I don't see that happening. What I think could happen, and I think it would also be satisfying, is if Jay has a hand in Roman's downfall. He doesn't necessarily have to win the titles from him, but I think if he has a hand in costing Roman those titles, which is like his power source, and he plays a role in him losing that, That would also be satisfying in its own way. And now that Roman is no longer the champion, you could do Jey Uso and Roman coming out of WrestleMania. And Jey could beat Roman. So there's still a way to tell that story without Jey being the one to actually win the titles, which I just don't think is realistic. We've got Nathan Cania dropping some super chat love. Hey, Nathan, thank you. Rob G, Triple H's My Time is his best theme song. Do you agree? I like My Time. And I like the Motorhead song as well. The King of Kings song is good. I don't like it as much as the other two. I would say My Time, yeah. My Time is my favorite song of his. I would put My Time at number one. We got Nick Grasso with the 999. Great moment with Zayn and Owens, and still no Wyatt at this point. They should just cancel the match and have Lashley do an open challenge to somebody like LA Knight or Karrion Kross. Yeah, I mean, that might be the way to go. Because I don't know, what else he would do with Bobby, if not. And he absolutely deserves a spot on that show. Paul Hamilton, again, early in the stream, man. My God, over an hour ago, he dropped a $100 super chat on me. So it never gets old. It always just blows me away when I see that kind of support. So, Paul, thank you. He says, 800th episode this Sunday, LOL. Portland pop star. Paul, you're the man. Because you already know that. Deb to Dust, Paul Heyman looks like Alfred Hitchcock. He does. I see some Penguin from like the second Batman movie. I always look at him as the Penguin. He walks like the Penguin too. But yeah, I do see some Hitchcock in Paul Heyman. Dan Teller with the $20 super chat. Excited about where this Cody and Roman story is headed. Much like how the Roman Reigns storyline started, in my opinion, this is must-see TV every week. By the way, I love all your content, and just listening has helped me through so much. Dan, thank you for that. I'm glad the podcast has helped you in some way. Always love hearing that. Rodimus Prime with the 20. Happy 800 solo. As always, appreciate everything you do. Buy or sell on which Undertaker match you would erase from WrestleMania history? WrestleMania 9 against the Giant Gonzalez or WrestleMania 30 against Brock Lesnar? WrestleMania 30 against Brock Lesnar. Marquan says, happy 800. Marquan, thank you for the $4.99. Very much. Miguel is telling me to check WrestleVote. So I will very quickly check WrestleVote. Now let's see what he is saying here. So per WrestleVote, as of 16 minutes ago, as of last creative, the women's creative discussion, the women's fatal four-way at WrestleMania will be Raquel and Liv against Shayna and Ronda against Natty and Shotzi against Carmella and Chelsea. Well, there you go. That's according to WrestleVotes. WrestleVotes nailed it earlier today when he broke the news about there being these two four-way tag team matches. So if WrestleVotes is saying it, it's probably true. So that would mean that no Ronda and Shayna in a women's tag team title match, which is fine with me. And I like the pairing. I like them putting Carmella and Chelsea together recently on TV. I just think, I don't know, it's just as a pairing, they seem to gel well together. Shotzi, I just hope whatever is going on with Shotzi, because she has not looked good recently. And so I don't know what's going on. I know she had a rough year this past year, but whatever is going on with her, you know, right now, hopefully she can shake it off and have a good WrestleMania performance, because that match that she had, was it last week with Charlotte, was not good. That was not good. Corey Blake with the $3,500. Boy, I'm trying to will that into existence. I don't even think YouTube allows a super chat that large. I'm pretty sure the limit for YouTube is 500. I believe the super chat limit for one single super chat is $500. Let alone a $3,500 super chat. Corey, you would be co-hosting the show with me probably if that happened. No, a $35 super chat. Congratulations on 800 episodes. You are the gold standard of podcasting. Been watching since 2014. Wanted to ask you how you would either... How would either Solo Sikoa or Bronson Reed sound against Lashley at WrestleMania? You know what? I like the idea of Bronson Reed being the one to get that match. I like that better. And Bronson Reed is a Raw guy. Lashley is a Raw guy. Not that that matters anymore. I like that. Bronson Reed is one who I'd like to see him get a spot on the WrestleMania card. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. Unless he ends up on a tag team somehow in that, you know, men's tag team four-way, but according to WrestleVotes, he won't be. Lashley against Bronson Reed, I think, would be a good replacement for Lashley and Bray, if it doesn't happen. We've got our resident almost sapien here. Queen Fire... Andre Israel, see, I like the way you think. Andre says, to get around it, you just send in $7,500 super chats and you get $3,500. See, you are a very enterprising young fellow. I agree. That has never happened before. That will never happen. Although we do have WrestleMania coming up, so you never know. But I like the way you think. Fire Panda says, I'm calling for a twist at WrestleMania. It won't be Bray himself wrestling. It's going to be The Fiend. Calling it now. I don't care. We're closing in on 450 likes, so it looks like we might fall short tonight here in these final minutes. So if you want to be the booker, go ahead and give the video a like, and we'll see if we can hit our goal. Fahad, my goodness. Fahad with that $120 super chat bomb from earlier. Great ending to the show tonight. And he asked the question about Solo Sikoa, which we already talked about. Fahad, thank you very much. Slim Yoshi with the $20. Congrats on 800 episodes. I am looking forward to the Intercontinental Triple Threat, potential match of the year incoming. Also, I hope that Sheamus brings back his old theme, written in my face, as a one-off. Why not? Why not? They let Drew bring back Broken Dreams at Clash at the Castle. And I know Sheamus has been lobbying in the past to bring his old theme song back, right? I mean, who doesn't like that theme song? Come on, man. It's a shameful thing. Lobster head. A careless man who will wind up dead. You wear your sin like it's some kind of prize. Too many limes, too many limes. I'm ready for the limes. Bring on the limes at WrestleMania. That's what I want. Sheamus can celebrate his title win with the Intercontinental title over his shoulder, sucking down some limes at the end of WrestleMania. I like it. Wink the Cosmic Grandma. Why wouldn't they use Sammy's popularity to attach some guys to him who can help fight the bloodline and increase their own popularity? Because that wasn't the story for WrestleMania. The story for WrestleMania was building to the reunion with him and Kevin Owens. Who's to say they don't do that after WrestleMania? Just because they beat the Usos and win the tag team titles doesn't mean the story is over. After WrestleMania, they would have more time to do that. So it's always possible. Maybe they will do that. Zacharias Sitchin with the $9.99. I bet the ones who are spewing the Cody isn't over narrative are punching air every time they hear the crowd sing the Whoa part in Kingdom when Cody makes his entrance. Yeah, the fans do like that part of the song. Let's Salamonster say lobster head? Absolutely. That will always be lobster head to me. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody... In fact, now that I think about it, I might have to... if Steve Mello... He's not with us tonight, but if Steve listens to this or watches this later, we may need to create a lobster head super chat. So maybe you can get working on that. Cameron Johnson with the $5 super chat. Who has more potential as a headline guy, Carmelo Hayes or Ricky Starks? Congrats on 800 episodes. Been a fan since episode 413. More potential as a headline guy. I think Ricky does. I just think Ricky, you know, he's got a certain ability on the microphone, a certain charisma about him. I think that Carmelo Hayes in ring is better than Ricky Starks. I think he's more talented in the ring than Ricky is, but I think Ricky's charisma and his personality has the potential to carry him further. So I'll give the slight edge to Ricky. They're both great, but I'll go with Ricky on that one. Down Bad, congrats on 800 episodes on behalf of all of us Homo sapiens. You know, I know some of the Homo sapiens are in great distress right now. I saw that Omos was on... Andy Cohen has a talk show. I don't know what he was on the show doing. He was just kind of standing there, like almost like he was the sidekick. But I guess he was there to promote WrestleMania. And he had a little interaction with Andy Cohen. And, you know, I saw more personality from Omos in that one segment than I have his entire run so far in WWE. We need to see more of that Omos on television if we're going to see him on TV. But he mentioned that he is getting married. He's engaged to be married later this year. So I know that's very distressing for a lot of the Homo sapiens. Daniel Parker, happy St. Patty's Day, lads and lasses. Many happy returns. St. Patrick's Day to all who celebrate, indeed. James Cooper with the $4.99. Remember in NXT, when she said that she didn't use the last name Flair because she wanted to create her own legacy. What happened to that? It's a good question. Perhaps she forgot. She forgot all about that. James Cooper again with a $9.99. Hey, James, thank you. When Cody wins the title and if Orton can come back, does that not feel like a must-have program? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was actually wondering the other day, I was thinking about Randy Orton and you know, what his status is. We've not heard anything about him, but that's a natural program. Now, I know Orton was a babyface when he left. He'll be a babyface the day he comes back. Orton against Cody, though, for the championship, that's definitely a top program. So I absolutely agree with you. But it all depends on his comeback and when he's able to actually get back in the ring. Nash DTV, $4.99. I know you're not a fan of Ministry Undertaker, but what is your opinion on Undertaker before that? His 1998 version. I love that version of the Undertaker. Yeah, I like that Undertaker. It was kind of a hybrid between Deadman and Big Evil, almost, in a way. Right? I know Big Evil had the short hair, but it was kind of a cross between the two. It was the first time we had ever seen that side of the Undertaker before. Actually goes back to 97. It was kind of 97 into 98. No, I like that version of The Undertaker. Ashley Zarzor with the $4.99. I think the Stone Cold LA Knight match/segment will be a what versus yeah off. Great stream. Thank you. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm worried about too, but you know what? It'll give LA Knight something memorable to do on the show. So for his sake, I hope it happens. Dan Richards with the $4. I was at tonight's show. LA Knight was very over. I have video proof. Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns did the same match as Elimination Chamber. Will Charlotte and Ronda Rousey, will Charlotte and Roman Reigns top their excellent Rhea Ripley? There's too many double R's in this company. What is going on here? I'm confused. He puts RR in the super chat. First, he's referring to Roman Reigns, but then he changes. You can't do that. You can't say RR in one sentence, referring to Roman, and then have RR in the... I sound like a pirate. And then have RR in the next sentence. My brain is not that quick to switch between the two. Roman Reigns, Ronda Rousey, Rhea Ripley. What is this? Well, to answer your question, I think that Charlotte Flair against Roman Reigns would be a hell of a match. Chris AXC with the $10 super chat. I'll get a little bird, a little parrot on my shoulder. I'll put an eye patch on and get Pirate Solomonster. Maybe for Halloween this year. Chris says, if not Cody, then who beats Roman? And who is the tribal chief without the titles? We haven't seen this Roman Reigns not on top. How do you see that character evolving when he eventually is not champion? Well, I think, again, there's a story to be told there that's not done yet with Roman and Jey Uso. So I think this bloodline drama is going to continue, I think, beyond WrestleMania. As far as who beats Roman, if not Cody, I don't know. There's no Cody is the right guy. There's no other obvious person right now. I know a lot of people want to see, you know, Walter as the champion, but you're not going to have a heel Walter be the one to beat Roman Reigns as a heel, so that's not going to happen. I think Cody is the right guy, and then whoever you want to, you know, be the champion after Cody, you have different options. It could be Randy Orton. It could be Gunther or Seth Rollins, right? If they eventually come back to Cody and Rollins, Rollins finally gets his win back, beats Cody for the championship. There's a lot of options. There's more options for Cody as champion than there are left, it feels like, for Roman Reigns. CMJ World with the $5 super chat. Have you been watching Young Rock? And if so, what do you think? I've not been watching Young Rock. Also, what do you think of Lashley against Reed for WrestleMan? Hey, can't see it, but that WrestleMan sign is going to be coming down in a couple of weeks. You guys are going to miss that WrestleMan sign when I rip it down, let me tell you. Yeah, I was just talking about that a few minutes ago. I believe that Reed would be a fine replacement for Lashley's opponent if Bray can go. Darth Panic, I'm predicting Kevin Owens to turn on Sammy and join the Bloodline. You know what? I'm gonna give you the S champion. That would be fucking hilarious if that, after all this, it ends with Kevin Owens turning on Sami Zayn and joining the Bloodline. Clone Force 99. If no Wyatt at WrestleMania, I would have Bobby Lashley against Bronson Reed and have Bronson Reed go over. I like that idea very much, actually. Because, you know, if Bronson Reed goes over at WrestleMania, you do know what that means.
Tsunami! Splash! The tsunami! Oh, my God. I had terrible flashbacks. God of Seduction with Bree Mode.
That's horrifying. Absolutely terrifying. I believe that you just popped our Bree Mode cherry here on this stream. That I believe, was the first Bree Mode super chat of the night. One of our brand new super chat, the $25 Bree Mode super chat. Absolutely terrifying. EJ Slend with the $4.99. I'm sorry about Diaz. Sucks it happened in the WBC because it has been a great tournament. The atmosphere for the games I was at in Phoenix was electric. Yes, our $100 million closer before the season even starts, ruptures his patellar tendon, which is a terrible injury, arguably worse than a torn ACL. There are other pitchers who have not been able to come back the same from an injury like that. This was like a complete tear. So he's gone for the season. Our season is down the toilet before it even begins. Such is life as a fan of the New York Mets. But hopefully Edwin Diaz gets well very soon. It's just a freak injury, too. I feel bad for him. But, yeah, that sucks. Scott says, if you could, what job or faction would you put to get I don't know what you're trying to say, Scott. I love you, brother, but I have absolutely no idea what you're saying. Quiz, it was not an ACL tear. It was a patellar rupture, I believe. Which I've heard people say is worse than an ACL tear. A lot of people come back from an ACL tear and they're good to go. This is different. There are a lot of players who... I think there have been football players who have had to retire because of it. Pitchers, depending on, you know, which foot or which leg they plant when they pitch. Like, that's a terrible injury if you're a pitcher. And a lot of people don't come back the same players, so I don't know what his future is going to be. I'm going to miss hearing Narco, though. Every time he jogs out of the bullpen, we're not going to have any Narco this year. I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're going to have to go to a committee and just have a series of different pitchers that they rely on, because they're not going to have that one loaded weapon. Let me tell you something. There's going to be a lot of very close games that this team is going to lose this year because he's not around. So you can count on that. DEH Sires with the $4.99. Why not let Shawn Michaels run the main roster women's division only and send Regal to NXT? Shawn actually treats the women fairly to the men, if not more than the men. Yeah, I don't know that Shawn would want to do that. I think he's happy just doing his thing in NXT. I don't think Triple H hasn't even been on the job for a year. You think he's going to start outsourcing creative for an entire division to somebody else? It's not going to happen. Joseph Brooks, cherish, keep, borrow, sell on these wrestlers and who had the best rookie years. Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, Goldberg, AJ Styles. Talking about rookie year in WWE, not in wrestling. So if we are talking about rookie year in WWE, we have to go Brock Lesnar, number one. Kurt Angle, number two. AJ Styles, number three. Goldberg, number four. That's how I would rank them. Juan Ocampo with the $4.99. Congrats on 800. You are the man. Thank you, Juan. You are the one and only. You have no idea how much you meant to me on those long days of work. Is Plumber Moxley there? I heard that he loves Kevin Dunn. I don't know. We have to ask him. What do you think? Plumber Moxley, did you fix that leak?
Fuck Kevin Dunn.
Right. I guess he's not really in a good mood. He's been in a mood all day long. I'll leave him alone. Thank you, Juan. DEH Sires, I predict the PR, that's Puerto Rico, SmackDown and Backlash are going to sell out in 3 minutes. Those Bad Bunny fans are crazy. He had 5,000 people at a gas station performing. Did he? Did he perform at a gas station for 5,000 people? Yeah, I mean, it's going to... I predict it's going to sell out in less than 3 minutes. It's not even going to take that long. Pillow v. Pillow. $5 super chat. Did you ever watch that show Heels with Stephen Amell on Stars? I just watched it and thought it was great. I saw the first two episodes and then I just didn't stick with it. Not because I didn't like it. I just fell out of it. So I have to... At some point, I'll have to start over again. Fire Panda, behold, give you Solo Bane. Yes, we saw Solo Bane earlier. Joshua Bonfield, who does Cody feud with after Roman for the title? I like the idea we were talking about before of Randy Orton, but it really depends on how quickly Orton can make it back, or if he's already ready to come back, and maybe they're just waiting until post-WrestleMania. Imagine Cody Rhodes coming out to celebrate his big championship win on the post-WrestleMania edition of Raw, and then Randy Orton comes from out of nowhere with an RKO. Imagine the pop when Randy Orton drops him with an RKO. The problem with that is that, again, he left as a babyface, and he's been gone so long that I think people would love to see him, and I don't think that they're going to side with Cody necessarily more than they would Randy. And is that what they want? They want that kind of split reaction. I almost feel like you need to establish Randy first, again, as a heel all over again before that, but what a moment that would be. If he hits that, if that's how Raw goes off the air, it's an RKO out of nowhere. Maybe he's got a hoodie on, pulls down the hood, it's Randy Orton. He's got like a Mike Tyson face tattoo now. Lars, the $5 super chat. Roman losing the title and the bloodline in one night, starting a downward spiral, sounds like an interesting storyline for Roman. You know what I want to see? I want to see them do the Okada storyline with Roman Reigns. Remember years ago when Okada lost the IWGP title? Okada lost his mind for a while, and he was carrying balloons. Since he didn't have the title anymore, he was carrying balloons everywhere he went. And he had lost his mind. And so I would like to see Roman Reigns walk around with balloons, or even if it's just a single balloon in his hand, once he doesn't have those titles anymore. Paul Heyman could even have the balloon and could hand the balloon to Roman for his entrance as if it were the championships, and then Roman can kind of hold the balloon up in the air, and the fans, instead of putting their fingers in the air, can bring little balloons. I think that they could sell a shitload of balloons if they want to get that gimmick over. I'm telling you, I think it could work. Hey, Silver Tower, who has been all over these streams lately, just gifted 5 more channel memberships. Which means that those 5 individuals are now part of the GWO. Hey, Silver Tower, how you doing? You're doing pretty good. Gifting all these memberships. Silver Tower coming in the clutch. BW Roses, I think Angie is the key to Rey against Dom at WrestleMania 39. That is Rey's wife, Dom's mom, I think, well, his other mommy. And I think you may be right. Hunter Peckham, in 2K23, you can make Gunther dance to Brie mode. I am not going to do that. Luis, $10 super chat. Sling TV is starting to crack down on VPN users that watch SmackDown live at 5 o'clock Pacific with the VPN settings set to the East Coast. I tried that this afternoon and the website spit out a 404. Well, Luis, you gotta ditch Sling, man, and go somewhere else. I have been using YouTube TV, and YouTube TV is not only getting rid of certain channels, as they've been doing, got rid of MLB Network a while ago. They're actually downgrading the content, but they're raising their prices, which is always fun. So the base price was $65. Actually, when the service started, the base price was $35. So the base price is $65. Now the base price is going to be $72. Actually, I'm sorry, $73. $73. So you get less content, but you got to pay more money. That's great. The problem is I love YouTube TV. I actually like the service. I like the app. It always works. You can customize the channel menu. You can reorganize channels, hide channels, unlimited cloud-based DVR. Like, all the features are great, but less content, more money? I mean, I don't know. I know it's still a hell of a lot cheaper than what I was paying for cable on Optimum here in New York. So, yeah, fuck them. You guys remember. You remember when I ripped up my final bill here on the stream, right? Yeah, you remember. That was back during the pandemic summer. I believe it was sometime in July or August of 2020, and I came on the air and I ripped that shit in half and I said, no more. No more cable for me. Never again. I'll die before I go back to cable. John John Trailer has became a sound off legend. Hey, John John. Thank you, brother. Yeah, I have FUBU. No, I don't like FUBU. I've heard about Hulu TV. I don't know too much about it. I may have to look into that. Anybody with Hulu TV, curious what your experiences have been. But, you know, despite the price increase, I still like YouTube TV. Slim Yoshi. I've read the interview Charlotte did with Forbes. She revealed that WrestleMania Night 1 main event has not been chosen yet, which gives me hope that the tag title match goes on last. That is the real main event to me. I don't know. In the WrestleMania parody video with Rhea when she was doing the Stranger Things parody, they had John Cena in the voiceover mention the main event. I have a feeling it's already been decided upon. Joseph Brooks, of these five, which of these wrestlers would you have liked to have seen in WWE from best to worst? Bruiser Brody, The Great Muta, Gary Hart, Rock and Roll Express, or for more modern wrestlers, Pentagon Jr.? Now, I don't feel like Pentagon would work as well in WWE as he does in other places. Although I love Penta. Who I would like to see rated from best to worst. I mean, Rock and Roll Express back in the day would have been cool. I got to go Bruiser Brody, though. I'll go Bruiser Brody first. I think a Brody Hogan feud would have been interesting back in like the late 80s, like maybe 88, 89, even 90. Brody and Hogan? I think that would have been. I actually think had he not been murdered, Brody would have ended up in WWE as a feud for Hogan. But I would go Brody. Rock and Roll, Muta, Gary Hart. I put Penta at the bottom. I just don't. I don't know. I don't think he would work as well in WWE as he does in AEW or Lucha Underground. I mean, he was the best in Lucha Underground. JM, you scarred me, but thank you for the $25 super chat. Congrats on 800 episodes of The Sound Off. Wink the Cosmic Grandma. If you had to show aliens on another planet one wrestling match, what matches would you show them? I think I'm going to wait until after WrestleMania this year and I would show the aliens Brock Lesnar against Omos. And I think when they see that, they would just fly away and leave us alone. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, Brie Mode is almost as bad as House of Torture. Torture is certainly a good word for it. Ashley in the chat says you made that Brie Mode too cheap. Are you calling Brie cheap? Is that what you're saying, Ashley? Are you saying that she's cheap? Super Pony. $4.99. When KO turns on Sammy after they lose the titles, it will be glorious. That would be fucking great. We get the big moment at WrestleMania, but then the turn happens. That would take balls. That would take some balls on their part. They said they wanted to win the tag belts, right? Well, you won the tag belts, right? So after that, he could turn on them. Then we can get another 6 months of Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn. And John John Trailer, the $20 super chat. What's up, Solid Monster? Been a fan since 2015. Any chance of you and JD doing a podcast together just for a special night? You two are the only guys I listen to. Anyways, keep up the great work, brother. Wish you the best. Hey, John John, thank you very much. Always possible. Always possible. We're actually going to be doing some stuff this week coming up for the House of Glory stuff, and then hopefully that show that we had will be up on the YouTube channel in these next couple of weeks, so everybody will be able to watch it. It was actually a great show. Some great matches on the show. And anyway, so yeah, never say never. Nothing planned, but never say never. I love leaving people in suspense. Keep them guessing. You keep them wondering. You keep them wanting and waiting. So thank you. Thank you, John John. JM with the $10 Super Chat. Sorry, bro. Late to the party. Just realized that Super Chat activated Bree mode. I won't let it happen again. In the words of Jake the Snake Roberts, trust me. Oh, yeah. I'll trust you. I'll trust you the way that Ellie trusted Joel. I'll leave it at that. Thank you, JM. That was a lot of messages. A lot of good questions in there, too. So some good shit. Thank you, guys. That's very cool. Now, I know we were wondering if we were going to hit the goal tonight. And as I close that out here, we did. We smashed the goal. Hooray. You guys came through in the clutch. So my gift to you for doing that is the gift of, let me see the emojis in the chat, all those B2B emojis from our channel members. It is time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Liv Morgan, going to WrestleMania. Going to be in a pretty random, meaningless tag team match. But she will be at WrestleMania. She'll get her WrestleMania moment. But it is time to do some booking here on this stream. Had mixed results with Be the Booker so far this week. So I am hoping we can end the week on a high note. I want to go into the weekend on a positive note. You think happy thoughts. And it'll all work out in the end. Boss Wolf says, I don't have... Oh, no. JM, you son of a bitch. I knew it. I knew I can't trust this guy. This man is not to be trusted. Fucking snake in the grass here. JM sneaking a $25 Bree mode on me tonight. I think Bree mode has been activated more tonight than she has been in the last probably 6 or 7 years. Kick things off here with the men's Be the Booker. We got a lot of them here as we take the wheel for a spin. There you saw Jacob Fatu. He's in there. Former MLW heavyweight champion, reigning House of Glory heavyweight champion. We begin with, you've got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. Jake the Snake Roberts. After JM just dropped a little snake emoji. Little sneaky snake bastard that he is. We land on Jake the Snake Roberts. It's as if it was meant to be. It is very eerie how that happens sometimes. We could be talking about something and then boom. Just like that. It appears in Be the Booker. Jake the Snake Roberts going to go one-on-one with Kazuchika Okada. There's a match I bet you never thought about. Jake the Snake in his prime. In his prime. Prime Jake. Prime heel Jake. Against Okada. What a unique match that would be. Jake has him beat on the promos. Okada has him beat in the ring. So they each kind of bring their own unique set of skills to the table here. Okada and Jake the Snake. What a match. They complement each other, right? They complement each other very well. On the women's side, let's take her for a spin here, see what we land on. We land on Lacey, I forgot her name. Lacey Von Erich. There you go. Lacey Von Erich. I literally forgot her name there. I had a brain freeze. I'm looking at this beautiful blonde, and I'm like, who is this? It is Lacey Von Erich, who is not good at all, by the way. Easy on the eyes, but not good at all inside the actual ropes. So I think we all know where this one's headed. But we have Lacey Von Erich one-on-one with Ruby Soho. That is not a buzzer for Ruby Soho. I don't know that I could have landed on anybody, quite frankly, and given that the bell once we landed on Lacey Von Erich. Lacey was not very good. That's why Lacey did not last in the wrestling business. So, let's go to the tag teams. A lot of good tag teams. A lot of great tag teams. Classic tag teams. And we begin with Mo and Mabel with Oscar. Men on a mission. Get it? Mabel, Oscar, and Mo. Like, Mo, Larry, and Curly. Men on a mission. They never did succeed in their... Well, I guess technically they did, though, didn't they? They were tag team champions. They didn't win the titles on TV, but they did win them at a live event. So I guess, would they? Does WWE recognize their tag title run? I believe they do. Men on a Mission are going to be taking on the Dudley Boys. Oh, I'm stuck on this. Men on a Mission and the Dudley... I got to get the buzzer. Yeah, I can't accept that. I don't think that would be very good. Don't think that would be very good. Men on a Mission and the Dudley Boys. That don't work for me. Sorry. We'll have to do better next time. But I'm very intrigued by this Jake Roberts Okada match. Trying to map out how that would go. Rainmaker against the DDT. You know, when Jake went to Mexico in the early 90s, after he had that very brief stint in WCW, he did big business in Mexico until he flaked out, you know, and then, of course, went on to lots of embarrassing situations in his career. But he did very well for himself in Mexico. I wonder how Jake back then would have done business-wise had he gone to Japan. I don't know. Or if we had Prime Jake in today's day and age working in Japan against Okada. I don't know. I don't know how he would do there. Probably would do pretty well for himself. Joseph Brooks with a 999. Who would you pair Gary Hart in WWE with? What tag team would you feud the Rock and Roll Express with? And who would feud with the Great... That's a lot of questions. Rock and Roll Express, I think, would have feuded with... again, depends when they come in. If they were to come in back during the golden age of WWE... They could have worked with the Rockers. They could have worked with Demolition. They could have worked with the Brainbusters, right, against Arn and Tully. So maybe the Bulldogs. A lot of great teams they could have worked with back then. That was also the golden age in many ways of tag team wrestling in WWE. It picked up again in the late 90s when you had Edge and Christian and the Hardys and the Dudleys and APA. And there were a whole bunch of teams, the Holly Cousins. But the golden age of tag team wrestling in WWE was the mid to late 80s. And into the early 90s as well. Hart Foundation, Bulldogs, Killer Bees, Rougeaus. Did I say Demolition? LOD came in eventually. You had the Rockers. You had the Brainbusters. I like Power and Glory. I don't care what anybody says. I think Power and Glory was a highly underrated team. I'd put them on the list as well. The Nasty Boys came in. I mean, there are a lot of great tag teams. Money Inc., Steiner Brothers, Head Shrinkers. God. I miss it when the tag team division was really strong in WWE. I really miss that. I'm glad I grew up with... I often look back at that and I say, I'm really happy that I grew up in the era that I did. I really am. I'm very happy that I grew up a fan of the era that I did. And I can look back on it and appreciate it for its greatness. Dan with the $2. Brutes should betray Bang Bros. I think you mean the Banger Bro, unless you're talking about something else, to help Gunther at WrestleMania. No, I don't think they should. Gunther should drop the championship and Sheamus should win. That's it. It's the only outcome I want to see. Dr. Dakota Scorpio hopes Sonata has a better post-LIJ run than Evil. Boy, you know, you talk about where Evil was at one point and what happened to Evil. What a fucking drop-off. Holy shit. Is he still with EO? I thought he was married. He's married to EO Sky, I think, right? Cameron Spencer, worst stable, the Core or the League of Unnations? Or what? Wait. Oh, that's an I. Oh, Urination. I didn't see the I. I said Unnations. What do you mean? Then I saw that was a URI, not a UN. The League of Urinations. The Core was worse. At least the League of Nations had a WrestleMania match. They got to work a segment with Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels, and Mick Foley. WrestleMania 32. So, and I think they won that match, actually. I think they beat the New Day. So, yeah, no, the League of Nations was definitely better than the Core. JM says, yes, Jake the Snake. Yeah, I mean, that's just eerie. After you sent that Jake popped up in Be the Booker. And JM also says, I would tune in just for the TV build-up for Prime Jake against Okada. I booked your main. The other two are on you, brother. Well, thank you for booking my main event, JM. You can be my Pat Patterson. Well, maybe that's not such a good idea. Nier, good morning. What did I miss? You missed everything. Nier, you missed everything. You got to go back and start from the very beginning. Wade Barrett was, that's a good pickup. That's right. Wade Barrett was in both factions. He was in the Core and he was in the League of Nations and the Nexus. He was in multiple factions. And Clone Force 99, you and JD, good mic work are the best. And who is your favorite wrestler? All time, Bret Hart. Currently, my favorite wrestler. Wow, my favorite wrestler currently. I mean, look, I'm digging Roman in this run that he's on. You know, the guy finally found himself, and he's the final boss in all of wrestling. You know, what more can you say? I'm a Roman guy. I'm trying to think... Big fan of Will Ospreay as well. Okada, I mean, Okada's fantastic. If I had to narrow it down to just one, though, I'd have to narrow it down between Roman, Ospreay, and Okada. And I think I would probably... I'd go with Ospreay. I think I'd go with Will Ospreay. But thank you, yes. JD and good mic work. Are good friends. I met Greg actually for the first time in person on the Jericho Cruise 3 years ago. I met him when I was all decked out as Orange Cassidy. So did Greg really meet me or did he meet Orange? I guess that would be the question. I don't know. Hey, there's Nier. There's our boy Nier. Do you think Charlotte needs a change? She's been on top for so long. What change can be done in her case? I think with Charlotte, less is more. She's almost, not almost. I mean, she's reached that, attraction level as far as like being an attraction who doesn't necessarily need to be on the show all the time. And I think, you know, for a while, it would be fine if you had her working with some lesser established talents that you're hoping to get over on the roster. And I'm not saying she should job to everybody she works with, but you know, for her to not necessarily be in the top program, that's what I think would be a nice change. And she missed most of last year, so it's not like she was on top for the entire year, but it didn't take very long for her to come back on top, and already it feels like she's been there forever. So I think after WrestleMania, she'll lose to Rhea Ripley, and then I think, you know, she slides down the card a little bit, and she can work with someone like Raquel, which I had suggested months ago as a WrestleMania program. This will be a much better match. But I think she could work with Raquel if they see Raquel as being someone big and somebody who can get over at a top level, then she should work with Charlotte. And it's okay for Charlotte to work a program in the middle, you know, of the card. And you can have more than one women's program on the show that you're focusing on. Instead of just the championship, you have Rhea, let's say, defending the title against whoever it's going to be, and Charlotte working with somebody else. So you get two programs out of it in the women's division. Oh, I forgot my point. Yes, Beowulf. Best Undertaker. Look, I feel like I've answered this so many times before. I get asked about the different versions of the Undertaker. I grew up on Grey Glove, early Undertaker. So I will always rank early Grey Glove Undertaker up here, even though the matches he had were not nearly as good as the matches he had at the tail end of his career. I have a soft spot in my heart for Grey Glove Undertaker, who would no-sell everything and roll his eyes in the back of his head with Paul Bearer as his manager. But if you're talking best evolution, not... See, you said evolution. You didn't say version. So best evolution of the Undertaker, I think, would be... I like what they did when he came back in 2004. It was kind of a hybrid, where he was the dead man again, but he had the bandana on. And he wasn't, you know, totally like just an undead zombie. It was kind of a mix of the two versions of The Undertaker, and that might have been, you know, kind of the best evolution of the character. I didn't hate The American Badass. I thought it was a welcome change for a while there, to do something different with the character. And certainly his debut in 2000 as the American Badass was all-time great moment. I mean, the way that building came unglued for him at the end of that Iron Man match at Judgment Day in 2000 was fantastic, his debut in that role was. But yeah, I would say 2004, when he came back, as far as like an evolution of the character, where you could see it was a hybrid mix of the two, I think was the smart way to go. Andre liked the American Badass with the Roland theme. Yeah, I mean, I know some people were upset when he came out at Raw 30 and he was using Limp Bizkit instead of, Kid Rock instead of Limp Bizkit. But when the American Badass first debuted, it was Kid Rock. And then he transitioned into Roland. Roland is what he came down to the ring to at WrestleMania X7. Do I see any big debut happening on the Raw after WrestleMania? I still think there's a pretty good chance we'll get Jay White. Apparently Jay White is 50-50 whether he's going to WWE or AEW. He still hasn't made his mind up yet. So he's not even under contract anywhere yet. But if he makes his mind up in the next week or so, I think Jay White popping up on that first Raw after Mania would be very likely. Unless they feel like he needs to go to NXT first, which... I know they send people to NXT to teach them where the cameras are positioned and everything. And AJ Styles has actually said that he wishes he could have started in NXT. You know, he has done interviews in recent years saying that. I think you get Jay White, you got to debut him on TV and not on NXT. I just think that would be silly. SB the Bully says, first time super chat. Hey, SB, thank you. Longtime listener since the TV Tracks days. Congrats on 800. Thoughts on Roman against MJF for the title of final boss? MJF is not a final boss to me. He's not. You know, I think he's a very good champion who proved against Bryan Danielson that he could hang in a major pay-per-view main event like that. I think the two of them brought it. They had one of the best matches that you'll ever see. And in my opinion, the best Iron Man rules match that there's ever been. But final boss, you know, when I think final boss, we hear that expression used. I think of Roman today. I think of Gunther. I don't think of MJF as the final boss. God of Seduction, thank you for that 25 drop. Rhea should squash Charlotte to establish her dominant role. It would be a shock. And Charlotte could really give back and earn more respect from the fans for putting Rhea over in that fashion. Do you follow MMA? favorite version of The Undertaker? I don't really follow MMA much anymore. I used to follow it a little bit more, you know, but not today really so much. Favorite version of Undertaker, I just talked about that. I don't think they should do a squash, just because, especially if that's going to be in the main event spot, you can't do a squash. That's number one. But even if it's not the main event, you're going to put these two in the ring at WrestleMania. I expect them to go out there and have a very good match. I would have Rhea fight for it. In the end, she wins, right? It shouldn't be a walk in the park. They're establishing that Charlotte is the star. And Charlotte is the one obstacle that she can't overcome. I don't think she needs to go in there and beat her in 2 minutes. She needs to go in there. It needs to be a fight. It needs to be a struggle. And in the end, Rhea prevails. And there could be no doubt that it's not a fluke. And it's not, you know, an anomaly or whatever word you want to use. She earned it. She beat Charlotte fair and square. They could have this 15, 20 minute match. As long as she goes over in the end, then she will be put over. Doesn't need to be a quick squash. You know, you're not paying for a quick squash at WrestleMania. I'm still sore about the fact that we finally got Undertaker against John Cena at WrestleMania and it was over in 3 minutes. Even Undertaker was pissed about that. He just talked about that actually with Chris Van Vliet. He said that he had trained for a 30-minute match. He gets to the building that day and Vince is like, yeah, you're gonna squash John. Like, what? I trained my ass off for what? They should have done that match when the streak was still intact. That was a big mistake. Big mistake on their part. Always said that. At the time, I always said that. Can you imagine people thinking Super Cena, oh my God, he's going to beat The Undertaker, and you have a couple of spots in that match, like these close near falls where people just have a heart attack thinking John Cena is going to be the one to break the streak. In the end, Undertaker beats him. It was a missed opportunity. Not doing that match. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, for the 800th episode, you should play Brie Mode. I will not be doing that. We're going to save Brie Mode here for the streams. And God of Seduction, the Taker question is a joke. I hear it every week. Yeah. So do I. But now you know. Now you know. Hey, Beowulf says, I would have been pissed. Well, are you talking about the near falls in that match? That's why I always thought it was a great idea. People on the edge of their seat think like he hits the attitude adjustment and goes for the pin, or, you know, he's got him in the STF and Taker is reaching for the ropes and he's almost there and Cena drags him back into the center of the ring and people think, holy shit, they're going to have the Undertaker tap out to John Cena. Vince McMahon is going to have John Cena break the streak. You would have people ready to just storm the ring. Once the streak was broken, all the drama was gone. All the drama was taken out. It wasn't there anymore. They missed their chance. Yeah, instead they had Cena in the audience eating popcorn that night. Remember, he was a fan? He was a fan in the crowd for half the show? Oh, boy. Anyway. This has been fun. Do I think the streak should ever have ended? I would not have ended it, but I think that there is certainly an argument to be made about saving it for someone on the up. You know, Undertaker told Ariel Helwani that he would have envisioned losing to Roman, which would have made sense because Roman was the guy Vince was trying to push. I don't think it would have worked because the fans were rebelling against Roman. I mean, look at the reaction when Roman beat him at WrestleMania 33, right? The streak wasn't even a thing anymore, but, I mean, the match sucked. But besides that, I was in the building, okay, that day, I could tell you, people were not happy to see The Undertaker lose to Roman Reigns. So I think there's an argument to be made that, look, you do the honors on the way out. The guy's about to retire, let's say. He knows this is going to be his last match. He's got to lose. I understand that. I don't think I would have broken the streak at all, but certainly it would have made more sense to have somebody like Roman, someone on the ascent, do it, and to have Brock Lesnar do it. I agree with Undertaker. Undertaker, he didn't fight it. He didn't fight with Vince over it, but he said, I just had a disagreement with him, and thought that Brock didn't need it. And he's right, Brock didn't need it. I know it became part of Heyman's shtick, but he didn't need that win. Near. Well, EA San Diego says, wasn't Edge supposed to beat The Undertaker? Yes, actually. Edge was going to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania 24. And Edge, according to Undertaker, because Edge has talked to Undertaker about this, Edge went to Vince, he went to management, and he refused. He said no. Because he didn't believe the streak should be broken. And Edge actually said, I don't want it. I don't want to beat The Undertaker. We should not do this. So yeah, Undertaker actually just talked about that, I think, in the interview with Ariel. Edge was supposed to go over. He said, no, not going to do it. So anyway, we are going to be back live on Monday. That'll be the next live stream here on YouTube with all of our emojis for the channel members and all of the brand new super chats and I'm sure other fun stuff here on the road to WrestleMania. First, of course, before we even get there, we have episode number 800. Each and every Sunday, you guys know where to find it, the full podcast. And Sound Off 800 will be dropping on Sunday. I don't know if it'll be up as early as it usually is in the afternoon. It could be later in the day, but I promise you there will be a podcast. Everybody, by the time we get to like 2 o'clock when the show isn't up, I get very panicked messages and tweets. Is there no show today? I'm like, when was the last Sunday that I didn't do a show? I said, don't worry, I got you covered. So have a great weekend. I'll see you for 800 on Sunday. Take care, guys.